Thanks, Hillary, for that awesome overview of how to target worry thoughts in kids using cognitive restructuring and mindfulness. So for those of you just tuning in, my name is Alex Keller, and I'm a clinician at BU Center for Anxiety. So in this last segment, I wanted to touch on some more concrete parenting strategies that parents can use in response to their child's anxiety in the moment. So when responding to our child's anxiety, parents can sometimes, with the best of intentions, fall into some of what we call our parent traps. And on this slide, you'll see that we've laid out what we call the ABCs of parent traps. And the first one is A, or agreeing with our child's anxious assessment of a situation, otherwise known as modeling anxious behavior. Now, there's obviously going to be some situations, particularly in the current state of the world, that warrant a healthy dose of anxiety and where caution is an important thing to model. But when a child's anxiety is repeatedly met with parental fear and anxiety, it sends the message to kids that the world is a dangerous place and that increases their likelihood of responding similarly to other situations. So another trap that we sometimes see parents falling into is our B, or our butting in. And this is when parents can feel pulled to overprotect or perhaps overaccommodate their child's anxiety, which limits their opportunities for kids to learn that they can successfully, say, navigate a situation that scares them. So by generally limiting these opportunities for independence in kids, kids begin to question their autonomy and ability to function without parental input, which can increase anxiety as well. And then finally, there's C, which is in some ways the kind of the other side of the parenting coin, which is when parents meet their child's anxiety with criticism or coldness. So we often see this when parents don't fully perhaps understand where their child's anxiety is coming from, or the opposite, when parents are particularly frustrated with their child's response because they see similar behaviors and tendencies in themselves. So regardless of where the frustration is coming from, it's completely understandable, but we know that this anger or frustration can be really invalidating for kids and can actually increase feelings of anxiety and decrease feelings of self-efficacy. So then how do we respond to our kids' anxiety? So the first line of defense that we often teach to parents is what we call our empathize and encourage skill. It's a two-part strategy that's exactly what it sounds like. So the first step is acknowledging your child's anxiety and showing empathy for their experience. Now, this is different than agreeing with your child's anxiety or parent trap A. So you're not reinforcing that the fearful stimuli is in fact real and valid and something to be super afraid of. You're acknowledging that their emotion is real and valid. So by taking this first step, you're helping them feel heard or feel seen, which allows them to foster some self-compassion and also allows them to feel like you get them, and which will inherently allow them to engage in the second part of what you're about to do, the encouragement piece. So when we encourage kids, we want to express confidence in their ability to face their fear, whatever it might be. So this can be a simple blanket statement, like, I know you can do it. Or you can get more detailed and specific, by telling them why you know that they can do it. So perhaps you saw them do something similar last week, or you've seen them be brave in other capacities that would inspire confidence in them in this particular situation. So by pairing these two statements, an empathy statement and an encouragement statement, we're letting our kids know that we see them and that we believe in them. So I thought we could do an example together. So let's say that your child is feeling really scared to take a walk outside because they're afraid of getting the virus. I've outlined three parental responses here, and maybe you can help me figure out which one is most aligned with an empathize and encourage framework. Okay, so one, there's nothing to be scared of. You're being silly. Let's go for this walk. So right off the bat, I'm not hearing any empathy or encouragement. And this is kind of giving me parent trap C vibes a little bit, of being a bit more cold and callous in response to anxiety. All right, so then there's number two. They say it's safe to go outside, but you never know. The news is saying something new every day. The virus could really be anywhere on anything. Okay, so not hearing much encouragement here, and actually not a ton of empathy either for the feeling. So this feels a bit like parent trap A, or agreeing with the child's anxious assessment. And then finally, there's three. I know you're feeling scared, but I know you can be brave and take our 10-minute walk. I saw you do it yesterday. So this example provides both an empathy statement, acknowledging how your child feels, and an encouragement statement, letting them know that you know that they can do it and why. So, all right, let's move on to another important parenting tool, which is your attention. So a parent's attention is perhaps one of the most powerful tools we have in shaping child behavior. So even negative attention can be inadvertently reinforcing for kids, which may seem counterintuitive, but is true for both younger and older children alike. So a really key principle that's going to guide the next few slides here is that, as a general rule, the more you attend to a behavior, the greater likelihood that behavior is going to increase. So how might this principle relate to anxiety specifically? After all, anxiety is an emotion, not always a behavior per se. Well, as we've learned, anxious feelings most often come with anxious behaviors. So responses to that anxiety, which manifest as behaviors. So attending to or attending away from certain behaviors or anxiety responses will help to shape your child's approach and response to anxiety in these anxiety-inducing situations. So the two skills that I'm going to focus on here are active ignoring and labeled praise. So I'm going to talk about active ignoring first, but before I do, I want to provide the rationale for why this strategy is so important and effective in kids. And to do that, I'm going to first describe what we call the cycle of reassurance, which parents often find themselves in when kids repeatedly seek reassurance from them about anxiety-inducing situations. So all kids seek reassurance from parents, but we begin to see this behavior as excessive or perhaps unhelpful when kids repeatedly ask the same questions to parents over and over, even when they already know the answers to these questions or could easily figure it out for themselves. And it's usually about things that make them feel really anxious. Now, as parents, it's our jobs to make our kids feel safe and secure and to provide them reassurance when they ask for it, right? But for some kids, there does come a point where reassurance-seeking behavior is no longer helpful. And in fact, it can feed a cycle of parental reassurance and accommodation that actually becomes unhelpful by attending so much to a child's anxiety that parents inadvertently reinforcing an unhelpful coping mechanism in kids. So when a child seeks reassurance from parents, parents are then pulled to give a lot of added attention to kids in the form of reassurance. So this reassurance not only helps the kids to feel much better in the short term, but also reinforces that the child does not necessarily have the resources to manage their anxiety on their own, and reinforces that their seeking of reassurance yields more attention from mom or dad. So as the cycle repeats many times over, what might a kid be conditioned to learn here? So some kids might be conditioned to learn that seeking reassurance about anxiety is not only the best way to reduce their anxiety in the moment, but also to secure parental attention, which can be really rewarding for kids. And I also just want to mention, this is not like an overt manipulative strategy that kids are doing on purpose. This is something that is a conditioned behavior, meaning that it's not at the forefront of our awareness, right? So over time, as kids continue to increase their anxious reassurance seeking behaviors in response to this cycle, they actually concurrently increase their anxiety. Because as we've learned a little bit already today, when we increase anxious behaviors, such as reassurance seeking, we actually can increase the underlying emotion and anxious thoughts associated with that behavior, since behaviors in many ways inform our internal experiences. So furthermore, the more attention that parents give to the worry, the more power that worry is ultimately given. So as a summary, yes, providing reassurance does or might decrease your child's anxiety in the short term. But in the long term, it can feed a cycle that worsens your child's anxiety and increases their need for more reassurance, and also decreases their confidence in their ability to answer their own questions, and reinforces that they're kind of unable to tolerate the discomfort or the uncertainty, and reinforces that reassurance seeking is a productive means to get mom or dad's attention. So sorry, that was a lot, but thesis statement, reassurance seeking, not always good. So how do we break the cycle? And this is where what we call active ignoring comes in. So active ignoring is a way to redirect your attention to your child's positive coping behaviors as opposed to their less helpful ones. So if you start finding yourself in a reassurance loop where you're answering the same anxious questions or kind of questions over and over again, it may be helpful to use this skill to reallocate your attention to more adaptive coping strategies. So the first step here is setting a limit on the number of times you plan to give reassurance about the same topic or answer the same question or kind of questions. So, and let kids in on it. Kids can feel a little blindsided if all of a sudden you just stop answering their questions. So it can be helpful to say, hey, from now on, I'm going to answer this genre of question, you know, up to 3 times. And after that, I'm not going to answer it anymore. So once that limit has been reached, you can then respond to your child to let them know that, you know, I've already answered this question. I'd love you to try to use some of your coping strategies on your own. And these could be anything that we've already talked about in the slides above, such as value-based behavior, detective thinking strategies, mindfulness, or it could be something that you guys practice at home, like maybe deep breathing, or your own coping mechanisms that you have found helpful. So if your child continues to ask questions that feel unhelpful or repetitive, engaging in reassurance-seeking behavior, this is the point where you might redirect your attention elsewhere. So giving them the space to use their own coping strategies more independently without relying solely on parent input. And the reason we call this active ignoring is because you're not actually ignoring. So it's actually quite the opposite. While you might be more overtly ignoring them with as far as your posture, or your body language is concerned, or you're not providing that immediate reassurance when they're asking for it, you're actually continuing to be watching them very carefully to what we call catch them, using more self-soothing strategies or adaptive coping strategies to reduce their anxiety. So once you do observe that your child has effectively moved on or is using more productive coping strategies to manage their feelings, you would immediately swoop in and provide lots of positive attention for the productive coping behavior. So in this way, you're not actually ignoring your child's anxiety. You're just redirecting your attention to fixate on the more positive or helpful anxiety response. Okay. So this is where labeled praise comes in. So the flip side of active ignoring when it comes to how we use our attention is making sure that we capitalize on every opportunity to praise our kids when we see them responding positively or rather adaptively to anxiety. So this means, as a parent, your job is to kind of like catch your child engaging in positive coping activities or behaviors. So let's see that you see them engaging in a value-based behavior or using detective thinking or other strategies that you've worked on together, really using that as an opportunity to provide praise and positive attention instead of just noting that it happened and moving on to yourself. Because when we think about that basic principle that I talked about earlier, that the more we attend to a behavior, the greater likelihood that that behavior is going to increase. We want to make sure that we're providing as many opportunities as possible to praise our child's behaviors when they're aligned with positive coping strategies. So when we talk about labeled praise, some of the principal rules are being as immediate as possible with your approval and your excitement for that behavior, and always be specific about the behavior that you're hoping to reinforce. So maybe as an example, a child who is feeling really anxious about logging into his school Zoom meeting because he's afraid of speaking in front of the class or the group. If you see him successfully engage on the Zoom call despite those fears, instead of maybe taking a sigh of relief and moving on, reflecting right after the Zoom call to your child that, hey, I'm really proud of you for sitting through the whole class, even though you felt nervous. I know it might have felt hard, but you did a really great job. Or better yet, if you actually heard him participate on the school Zoom meeting, reflecting that back immediately, how proud you are that he tried something that scared him and what a great job he did. Or maybe, for example, a teen who's feeling really anxious that her friends are going to move on without her, or that her friendships are going to otherwise be negatively affected by this period of physical distancing. If you see her taking steps such as arranging a virtual movie night or card night with friends, that would be a really great opportunity to say something like, you know, I think it's really great that you're finding a way to stay connected to your friends, even though it would be harder to do right now. You're so creative. Okay. And then this last skill I wanted to just touch on today is modeling. So we've already talked about this a bit in some of the previous slides and content, and it's a concept that a lot of us are familiar with. So I won't spend too much time here, but in sum, kids often look to parents for guidance on how to respond to anxiety and negative emotion. And the more we can put forth a good example, the better kids will be at emulating this example. So this includes, you know, starting to think about modeling skills described throughout this talk, from engaging in value-based behavior to using detective thinking or mindfulness strategies to cope with anxious thoughts. And as a rule of thumb, if we're asking our kids to stick to some sort of routine, it's usually easier for them to engage in this behavior if they see their parents modeling productive routines as well. All right. So to round out this talk, I just wanted to remind you all that you are doing an incredible job. These are really unprecedented times and unprecedented struggles that parents are facing right now. And trying to juggle being your kid's teacher and sports coach and disciplinarian and all while somehow also doing your day job and managing your household responsibilities, it can feel like a really impossible task. So I don't want the material presented here to feel like just another thing that we're failing at, because that's not the intent and that's not the message that we're trying to send. So these strategies are not gonna work for every family and, you know, may have to be much more flexibly adapted to meet some families and parents where they are. And that's okay. And even if you only take one thing from today's presentation, you know, that's wonderful. And we hope it helps you move forward with even a little bit more ease in the coming weeks and months. I also just wanted to reflect that these skills that we're talking about today are muscles to be developed, not strategies that can be easily and inherently easy to pick up and run with. These take time to develop and to successfully integrate into our parenting styles and into our routines. So be kind to yourself and really flexible in using the material outlined here. And lastly, while we have tailored the material here to meet the needs of parents right now in this crisis, these are not pandemic-specific parenting tools, in that we hope that these skills are things that you can continue to use after this period of social distancing is over. And then finally, on this last slide here, you'll see that we've provided some resources that we've compiled that we think might be helpful for parents in further reading on any topics, from how to talk to kids about the coronavirus to establishing routines, and resources even for parents to help navigate the stimulus package, or easy and quick recipes that you can make with your pantry staples. So take what you want, ignore what you don't. There should be a PDF version of these slides for those of you that are watching the webinar version of this talk that should have clickable links to these resources embedded. One resource that I especially want to draw your attention to here is the Child Mind Institute. So they provide daily tips for parenting during this crisis via email and have a lot of really more specialty topics, including the intersection of different diagnoses such as autism or ADHD with, you know, the specific experiences that we're all having right now with quarantine or social distancing, discipline and behavior problems within this particular period of time, dealing with loss, all those kinds of topics that can be really important for and relevant to many of us right now. All right. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you guys have further questions, our contact information is listed here on this last slide, as well as our website and general information about our clinic. Thank you all so much, and be well.